throughout the Bible. And it also says that if you want chesed from God, you need to do chesed yourself.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
need to be a man or woman of chesed if you want God to do chesed to you.
Holy God. Hallelujah.
You have to. So if you sow chesed, you reap chesed. You reap what you sow. And we need the chesed of God in our life.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Chesed is the reason. Chesed is the basis of all faith. Without chesed, there is no faith. You could not have even a wee little bit of faith.
So mercy comes before faith.
Mercy? No, not mercy.
Chesed.
Chesed. That's right. Chesed is not.
The Bible.
Yeah. That's what the King James calls it. I can't go there. So I like to use the word chesed. I like to leave it untranslated.
Yeah.
I don't like to translate it mercy, because that implies, you know, mercy is something you give to somebody that doesn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. that you don't owe it to anybody. Chesed, you do owe. That is something that you owe because you're related to them somewhere or other, somehow or other.
Thank you.
So that
comes before faith. Then.
Chesed comes before faith. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So if God was not a God of chesed, if he had no honor, and he didn't respect his duties, you could have no faith. Because you wouldn't know whether he's going to keep his promise or not.
Whoa.
Chesed keeps promises.
Amen.
The reason people keep promises is because of chesed. If you don't keep your promise, you're not a person of chesed. And if God was not a God of chesed, we could not have any faith in him whatsoever.
Jesus.
Because we would never know whether he was going to keep his word or not. And you can't have faith in somebody like that.
That's
you
right.
cannot. All you can do is hope. Well, I hope he's getting a good mood today. You know. But that's not the God we serve. He is a God of chesed. He honors his word. He is a God of duty.
Yes.
And he recognizes his duty to us as his covenant people.
Whoa.
And we're related to him. We've talked about this before. We're related to God on various levels.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, there are several bases for chesed, for God to operate in our lives. And we need to claim those bases of chesed when we go to the Lord in prayer. We want something from God. We need to find a promise. Find a promise in the Word of God that says God will do this if you do this, and so on and so forth. And then you remind the Lord. Now, Lord, you said this. This is your Word. I believe you and I trust in your Word, and you're a God of chesed. You did not lie, you won't lie, and you won't break your promise.
Ooh, that puts a new man on fire.
It does. You can't, let me tell you, you just cannot have faith at all. Without chesed, God must be a God of chesed. That's another word would be faithfulness.
Yes.
He is faithful who promised.
Yes.
He is loyal.
Yes.
He does not abandon his people.
Amen.
He's not capricious.
Yeah.
He's dependable.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
That's what chesed is all about.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to deal with it again here in verses 11 or 10 and 11 this morning. Let's read verses 10 and 11. We're in Ruth chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Now, I might point out, I was thinking about this just this morning before I got up here. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, where it talks about the valiant woman. Now, some people have said, well, there really is no such person. That is not true. We know that there has been at least one.
Yeah.
Because we're fixing to, Boaz says by the Spirit of God that you are one, okay? So we're gonna say that. Now in Proverbs, the Proverbs 31 woman is married.
Yeah.
Yes, she is. Her husband tried.
She is married.
Yeah.
But Ruth is a valiant woman, and she's not married.
Right.
Yep.
So you can be a valiant woman or a woman of valor without being married.
Yes.
Now Ruth was not married at the time Boaz proclaimed her to be a valiant woman or an Esheskiah.
Yeah.
But she was fixing to be married. She's fixing to be. But anyway, but she is an Esheskiah before she's married, okay? All right. Verse 10. And he said, "Blessed are you of Jehovah, my daughter. You have made your latter chesed better than the former in not going after the choice young men, whether poor or rich." So here now we see that a number of things come up in this verse. First of all, he says, what you're doing here is a matter of chesed. You're not just in love with me. You're not just smitten with me, and you don't just want me. What you're doing is a matter of chesed. He said, you could have had, now we know also, so he says, not about me.
Yeah.
It's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about reconnecting Naomi with her land. He knows that.
Yeah.
This is all it's about. She's still looking out for her mother-in-law.
Amen.
He knows that. Now he said, you could have had anybody you want. And this is one way we know that she is a beautiful woman. Because he says, you could have had anybody. You could have had anybody in the country. You could have any man you want.
Yeah.
A rich man, a poor man. You could have not only had a young poor man, but you could have gotten you a young rich man if you had wanted one. So we know that he says, you could have gotten anybody in the country, but you chose me because you're a woman of chesed.
Yeah.
And he says, and now my daughter, fear not. All that you say will I do for you. For it is known in every gate of my people that you are a valiant woman.
Amen.
The King James says, I think the King James is kind of weak here. He says, now my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. First of all, I like the virtuous doesn't quite get it. Valiant is a much better definition of this, of an Esheskiah. And it says here, it's all the city of my people. It's not really that. He says, it's known in every gate. Literally, he says, in every city. Not just this one. Not just Bethlehem. But the fame of you and the word of you has gone from the northern border to the southern border and from the sea coast on east. Everybody has already heard about you. In the time that you've been here, and you've only been here a little while, every city in the land has heard of you. That's what he says. And they know that you are a valiant woman. That's why I'll do this.
So it says every city?
Every city. Every gate. It is known in every gate of my people. Okay. In every gate. So in other words, and when he talks about the people who sit in the gate, you're talking about the city council.
Yeah.
You're really talking about the town council. Because this is where business was transacted in the old days. This is where at the gate of the city, and we're going to see this in the next chapter. This is where the business of the city was transacted, in the gate of the city. And so we're talking about the city council. So he says every city council, every town council in this whole country has heard of you, and they know that you are a valiant woman. So therefore, we're going to do this deal. All right.
My mom?
Yes.
So, valiantry or striving for valiantry, she touched this whole nation, basically.
Yes.
So,
yes, she did.
One person,
yes.
Even godly.
Yes.
And you put another godly woman and another godly man. Can you imagine the power
yes.
of the virtuous church?
Exactly right. That is exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right. She is a representative of the church. The church needs to be a woman of valor.
Yes.
The church needs to be a valiant woman.
Yeah.
In collectively. The church needs to be an Eshes Chai. So you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, you ought to see the church. You ought to be able to see the church.
Yes.
All right.
Now
he says, okay, let me back up just slightly. I'm going to set the stage for something that we get into in chapter 4, which has puzzled everybody, and there's really no answer to it. It's a mystery. There's no answer to it. We don't know any. We don't know any. We don't have an answer. Well, let me go ahead and read it so you'll have some idea what I'm talking about. In chapter 4, verse 3, he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. Now, anybody in here have anything? Well, first of all, what does it mean when the scripture says selleth? Is that past tense?
I think it's current and present, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it's current. It's present tense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean she sold it. It doesn't mean she's wanting to sell it. It doesn't mean she will sell it. It means that she's selling it right now. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to find out that that is an utter impossibility. But anyhow, we'll find that out. But how about the rest? Does anybody in here have a Bible that is not King James?
The Amplified says, has sold.
Okay. Has anybody got anything else? Anything else besides the Amplified? You got King? Anybody got anything besides the King James or the Amplified?
Easy English says, she wants to sell.
Yeah, all right. There's future tense. So we got them all, man. We got past, present, future tense. We got it translated every kind of way you can think of. Past, present, and future. We don't know what in the world we're doing. Nobody knows what we're doing. Nobody knows what we're doing.
So have they sold it or not?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it. But we're talking about... Why in the world did I even bring that up? Okay. All right. There is no way. Boaz knows... And we're going to find out that there is no possible scenario known to mankind in which Naomi could ever hold that land that was Elimelech's in her own right. She had to have a redeemer to do it. It had to be held through a redeemer. Otherwise, she could never, ever hold it. Never, ever hold it. And we're going to find that. We're going to find it because here's the problem. You say, well, she inherited it from her husband, right? Anybody? Does that sound reasonable?
This day and age.
This day and age sounds perfectly reasonable because her husband died. She didn't have any kids. This day and age, you would probably think, well, she inherited that land from her husband so she could sell it. No, no, no. In the Bible, it was utterly impossible and illegal and against the law for a woman to inherit property from her husband. It was illegal, not according to the law. You couldn't do it. Could not do it. Couldn't do it. Why? Because if you could do it, then the land could travel from tribe to tribe. And it wouldn't stay in the tribe in which it was allotted in the first place. Everybody would just be all a jumbled mess.
But couldn't a girl inherit it from her father?
From her father. But Elimelech is not her father. He is her husband. So she didn't inherit this land from her father. This was Elimelech's land, and he was her husband. There is no possible way known to mankind or anybody else how Naomi could have ever inherited this land. It's not hers. Never was hers. Never will be hers. She has to hold it through a kinsman redeemer, a redeemer kinsman. That is the only way she can hold on to her land is through a redeemer kinsman. And that's important because that takes us right to Israel today. You hear a lot of people saying, well, that land belongs to Israel. Never, 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 never did that land ever belong to Israel. Never, never, ever. Never will. Never will. That land belongs to Christ. It belongs to the Redeemer kinsman.
Yes. Yes.
And Israel can never, 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 never hold that land except through its relationship with the kinsman redeemer.
Yes, thank you.
Without connection to the kinsman redeemer, to the redeemer kinsman, Israel has no claim on that land.
Amen.
God said, the land is mine.
He does.
All the land is mine. And he said, it shall not be sold forever. It is mine. It is not yours. I'll let you live on it during times of good behavior. You can hold the land in times of good behavior. But if you break your connection with me and with my son, you break your connection to the land. And you cannot hold the land except through my son, Jesus Christ. You cannot hold the land except through Christ, the kinsman redeemer. That is the only way that she can hold the land. The only way Israel can hold the land. Can't hold it. She can try. She'll just be driven off time after time after time. Except through, she has to hold it through the Redeemer kinsman. Yes.
So that's why the elder brother got a double portion of the inheritance. Because it was his responsibility to take care of the widow.
Well.
Is that right? Is that why Jesus told John from the cross, that's your mother, you got to take care of her because I'm the older
mother,
and you got to take care of her because it falls on my responsibility to make sure that...
Of course, Jesus and John were not brothers.
I know, but he put that responsibility on John.
Yeah, he did.
My responsibility, I give it to you.
Yeah, that's true. She was Jesus' responsibility. And John was, and Jesus' brothers were not saved.
Right.
At that time, they were not saved.
They weren't believers.
So, no, they didn't believe in Jesus. So, he didn't charge James with taking care of her because he wasn't a Christian. He was not a believer. So, he charged John with taking care of his mother. And, you know, so that would be a whole great discussion.
Yeah.
But anyhow... So we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about, especially when we get to chapter 4, we're going to try to deal with this strange, this is a mystery. We talked about, we saw that some translations say that Naomi is selling the land right now, she wants to sell it right now. And some of them say that Naomi has already sold the land. Some of them say she wants to sell the land in the future, okay? What does the Hebrew say? I don't know. And nobody does. That's why everybody's got it going every different direction. We don't know. We don't know. But we're going to talk about how in the world it might... there's only one scenario I can even conceive of by which she might have been able to sell the land, but not in her own right. She couldn't be doing it at that time. It's not possible for her to have done it, to do it present tense. And it's not possible for her to do it future tense. If she had done it at all, it must have been done past tense. Like the Amplified Version said, it was past tense. She must have done it past tense. Must have done it past tense. Okay. And there's only one way I could think of that she could have done that, and I'm out of time. We'll talk about that later. But she cannot, that land is not hers to sell. Doesn't belong to her, never did. It belonged to Elimelech, and then it belongs to his next of kin, which was not her. The woman was not next of kin because she was not of the blood.
Right.
Not of the blood. She'd have to be a sister. or and then she would still be inheriting it from her father, not from her husband. See, she cannot, under any circumstances, inherit from her husband. She has to inherit from somebody in the bloodline, from a father. So, there you go. All right, praise the Lord. Well, but this is a great mystery, and that's one reason why we know that this is an apocalypse. This is a prophetic allegory. We got great mysteries here. This is a red flag that says, now this is not just a historical event. This is something that warrants a lot more study and understanding than it's much deeper than what it appears to be, okay?